Chapter 38. Scholars. When I lay asleep, then did a sheep eat at the ivy wreath on my head. It ate and said thereby, Zarathustra is no longer a scholar. It said this, and then went away clumsily and proudly. A child told it to me. I like to lie here where the children play, beside the ruined wall, among thistles and red poppies. A scholar am I still to the children, and also to the thistles and red poppies. Innocent are they, even in their wickedness. But to the sheep I am no longer a scholar. So wills my lot. Blessings upon it. For this is the truth. I have departed from the house of the scholars, and the door have I also slammed behind me. Too long did my soul sit hungry at their table. Not like them have I got the knack of investigating, as the knack of nutcracking. Freedom do I love, and the air over fresh soil. Rather would I sleep on ox skins than on their honors and dignities. I am too hot and scorched with mine own thought. Often is it ready to take away my breath. Then I have to go into the open air and away from all dusty rooms. But they sit cool in the cool shade. They want in everything to be merely spectators, and they avoid sitting where the sun burns on the steps. Like those who stand in the street and gape at the passerbys, thus do they also wait and gape at the thoughts which others have thought. Should one lay hold of them, then do they raise a dust like flour sacks, and involuntarily. But who would divine that their dust came from corn, and from the yellow delight of the summer fields? When they give themselves out as wise, then do their petty sayings and truths chill me. In their wisdom, there is often an odor as if it came from the swamp, and verily, I have even heard the frog croak in it. Clever are they. They have dexterous fingers. What does my simplicity pretend to beside their multiplicity? All threading and knitting and weaving do their fingers understand. Thus do they make the hose of the spirit. Good clockworks are they. Only be careful to wind them up properly. Then do they indicate the hour without mistake and make a modest noise thereby. Like millstones do they work, and like pestles. Throw only seed corn to them. They know well how to grind corn small, and make white dust out of it. They keep a sharp eye on one another, and do not trust each other the best. Ingenious in little artifices, they wait for those whose knowledge walks on lame feet, like spiders do they wait. I saw them always prepare their poison with precaution, and always did they put glass gloves on their fingers in doing so. They also know how to play with false dice, and so eagerly did I find them playing that they perspired thereby. We are alien to each other, and their virtues are even more repugnant to my taste than their falsehoods and false dice. And when I lived with them, then did I live above them. Therefore did they take a dislike to me. They want to hear nothing of anyone walking above their heads, and so they put wood and earth and rubbish betwixt me and their heads. Thus did they deafen the sound of my tread, and least have I hitherto been heard by the most learned. All mankind's faults and weaknesses did they put betwixt themselves and me. They call it false ceiling in their houses. But nevertheless, I walk with my thoughts above their heads. And even should I walk on mine own errors, still would I be above them and their heads. For men are not equal, so speaks justice. And what I will, they may not will. Thus spoke Zarathustra. Chapter 39. Poets. Since I have known the body better, said Zarathustra to one of his disciples, the spirit has only been to me symbolically spirit, and all the imperishable, that is also but a simile. So I have heard you say once before, answered the disciple. And then you added, but the poets lie too much. Why did you say that the poets lie too much? Why, said Zarathustra, you ask why? I do not belong to those who may be asked after their why. Is my experience but of yesterday? It is long ago that I experienced the reasons for mine opinions. Should I not have to be a cask of memory if I also wanted to have my reasons with me? It is already too much for me even to retain mine opinions, and many a bird fly away. And sometimes also do I find a fugitive creature in my dovecot, which is alien to me, and trembles when I lay my hand upon it. But what did Zarathustra once say to you? That poets lie too much. But Zarathustra also is a poet. Believe you that he there spoke the truth? Why do you believe it? The disciple answered, I believe in Zarathustra. But Zarathustra shook his head and smiled. Belief does not sanctify me, said he, least of all the belief in myself. But granting that someone did say in all seriousness that the poets lie too much, he was right. We do lie too much. We also know too little and are bad learners, so we are obliged to lie. And which of us poets has not adulterated his wine? Many a poisonous hotchpotch has evolved in our cellars. Many an indescribable thing has there been done. And because we know little, therefore are we pleased from the heart with the poor in spirit, especially when they are young women. And even of those things are we desirous, which old women tell one another in the evening. This do we call the eternally feminine in us. And as if there were a special secret access to knowledge, which chokes up for those who learn anything, so do we believe in the people and in their wisdom. This, however, do all poets believe, that whoever prick up his ears when lying in the grass or on lonely slopes, learns something of the things that are betwixt heaven and earth. And if there come to them tender emotions, then do the poets always think that nature herself is in love with them, and that she steals to their ear to whisper secrets into it, and amorous flatteries. And of this do they plume and pride themselves before all mortals. Ah, there are so many things betwixt heaven and earth of which only the poets have dreamed, and especially above the heavens. For all gods are poet symbolizations, poet sophistications. Verily, ever are we drawn aloft, that is, to the realm of the cloud. On these do we set our gaudy puppets, and then call them gods and supermen. Are not they light enough for those chairs, all these gods and supermen? Ah, how I am weary of all the inadequate that is insisted on as actual. Ah, how am I weary of the poets? When Zarathustra so spoke, his disciple resented it, but was silent. And Zarathustra also was silent, and his eye directed itself inwardly, as if it gazed into the far distance. At last he sighed and drew his breath. I am of today and heretofore, said he thereupon, but something is in me that is of the morrow, and the day following, and the hereafter. I became weary of the poets, of the old and of the new. Superficial are they all to me, and shallow seas. They did not think sufficiently into the depth, therefore their feeling did not reach to the bottom. Some sensation of voluptuousness and some sensation of tedium, these have yet been their best contemplation. Ghost breathing and ghost whisking seems to me all the jingle jangling of their harps. What have they known hitherto of the fervor of tones? They are also not pure enough for me. They all muddle their water that it may seem deep, and fain would they thereby prove themselves reconcilers. But mediaries and mixers are they to me, and half and impure. Ah, I cast indeed my net into their sea, and meant to catch good fish, but always did I draw up the head of some ancient god. Thus did the sea give a stone to the hungry one, and they themselves may well originate from the sea. Certainly, one finds pearls in them. Thereby, they are the more like hard mollusks, and instead of a soul, I have often found in them salt slime. They have learned from the sea also its vanity. Is not the sea the peacock of peacocks? Even before the ugliest of all buffaloes does it spread out its tail. Never does it tire of its lace fan of silver and silk. Disdainfully does a buffalo glance thereat, near to the sand with its soul, near still to the thickest, nearest, however, to the swamp. What is beauty and sea and peacock splendors to it? This parable I speak to the poets. Verily, their spirit itself is the peacock of peacocks, and a sea of vanity. Spectators seek the spirit of the poet, should they even be buffaloes. But of the spirit became I weary, and I see the time coming when it will become weary of itself. Yea, changed have I seen the poets, and their glance turned towards themselves. Penitents of the spirit have I seen appearing. They grew out of the poets. Thus spoke Zarathustra.